Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. And because there's an international tournament on at the minute, we're talking about an international number nine, one of the England greats that signed for Leeds United. That's exciting, yeah?
Yeah, very much so. Who is it?
It's Michael Ricketts. Guy who signed for us in July 2004 after the relegation from the Premier League. Went on to make 28 appearances across the Championship and the League Cup.
That's good. How many goals did he get in the Championship?
Two goals he got, both in the League Cup, not in the Championship. This is the TSP Guide with me, Dan, and Michael, and Rob Conlon, to Michael Ricketts. So Ricketts grew up a Birmingham City fan, but he was in Villa's academy as a kid then. So he's done a bit of a tour of the Midlands, hasn't he? At 16, he was released, ended up at Walsall.
Yeah, and he did well there.
Is that with springboard?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Let's not be too mean about Ricketts, because he's played football at a professional level. He just wasn't great for Leeds, was he?
It goes well to a point. He's almost Jamie Vardy to a point, and then it goes wrong.
Right.
Because he's been really, he's not made it in academies. He's kind of had to start again at not quite as low as Vardy, but Walsall were like League One, League Two, the sort of perpetually at that level. So he's done all right there. He's got his big-ish move to Bolton, who were in the Championship at the time under Sam Allardyce. They paid, depending on what you read, $400,000 to £500,000 for him. And he does really well there. 24 goals in the Championship, scores in the playoff final, gets promoted with Bolton, starts absolutely on fire in the Premier League.
Is a guy on an upward trajectory, isn't it, really?
Yeah, 0-1-0-2. It's his first season in the Premier League. He's got 15 goals by the middle of January.
Because if you said to me now, a striker's got 15 goals in the Premier League, you'd be like, that's a £50 million player, isn't it? Automatically, you're talking a lot of money these days for a 15-goal striker.
Yeah, and he's still young at this point.
It is incredible, because I was watching back a YouTube video called Michael Ricketts Highlights last night. And yeah, he looks like a different footballer from what I remember. He's going through on goal, sitting the keeper on his arse all the time when he's putting the ball into an empty net, scoring lots of different goals, headers, good finisher. And then you see it as the video goes along, the level gets higher and higher and higher. Scores a couple of times at Elland Road, I think.
Yeah, he does.
Not
something we could become accustomed to.
Not the player I remember.
No, because I was trying to work out why we signed him, because it was quite a while ago. And my memories are, I remember him sort of bursting onto the scene and people being excited by him. And yeah, watching that, I've watched the same goals compilation. And because he was so slow by the time he got to Elland Road, I kind of assumed he was more of a big lump up front sort of player.
Like a target man style.
Yeah, but when you watch his goals, I'd say, to liken him to anyone, I'd say probably Beckford would be the lead striker, because he plays on the shoulder a lot. He scores a lot of goals from sort of in the sort of 12 yards of the goal, but then he chips in with some headers as well. So he's kind of good in the air, but not really a target man. He plays on the shoulder quite a bit. It's quite a few where he bursts through on goal and finishes.
I think I actually
him sound like a complete striker.
I think I actually thought of Beckford myself, because there's a couple where he sort of bends it into the far corner as well. But I think didn't he even say himself that people mistook him for a target man? He said people compare him to Emil Heskey because of his build, kind of, and he wasn't that type of striker at all.
Yeah, but the peak for him though was he got an England cap, which was famously used as a stick to beat him with eventually, wasn't it? Which I guess we might end up doing as well. But he got an England cap. It was a friendly against Netherlands in 2002, just before Valentine's Day, aged 23.
Everything in front of him. It's quite sad in a way, because like, he must have got to this point and been like,
This is the beginning.
Fucking hell, this is just starting for me. Like, I'm absolutely on fire. Made his debut with De Rijs for Cel, who actually did go on to play quite a bit for England.
Did he score an overhead kick in that game? Or did he try one? I can't remember now.
God, I can't remember. He only played half the game, did Ricketts, right. Sadly.
I'll have to go away and Google that one. So there's talk not long after that, though. Obviously, you get capped for England. It it boosts your entire profile, doesn't it? And he's been scoring in the Premier League. Other sides are looking at him. And then there's a fallout with Sam Allardyce at Bolton, with Spurs, Fulham and Middlesbrough all sniffing around.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs have been linked with a £10 million move at this point, which for someone who's been playing at Walsall a couple of years ago and has kind of come from nowhere, exciting stuff. But yeah, Allardyce is kind of hinting at a bit of an attitude problem.
Right.
Because he says, if a player's been dropped by me this season, it's because they've put themselves in that position by not performing, and that applies to Michael. He says his goals have stopped flowing before his England call-up, which they had for about a month, but his form and contributions to the team were still keeping him in the team. But his form has dipped since he played for England, and that's why I've decided to put him on the bench.
That there are hints there of he's got too big for his boots, aren't there, but not in so many words.
Yeah, and Ricketts was not particularly happy either. He basically said that his teammates have been helping him out, but let's just leave it at that. So he's obviously having a bit of a dig back at Allardyce there, which Big Sam probably not a man to mess with, I don't think.
No. So he does leave Bolton and ends up at Middlesbrough.
Well, he ends up sort of staying there for that some of that season, and he's there for the start of the next season. Gets a few goals, but never quite recreates the form of the early Premier League days. But he's got 7, and then he moves. He gets a transfer request in. Spurs are back in for him again, but he ends up, they're trying to do a cash plus player deal, and Borough are just willing to stump up the cash, which is only £3.5 million at this point, because his stock has fallen and the transfer requests and stuff. So it's all been kind of chipped away a little bit. But he's still considered a potential decent striker at this point, I think, when he goes to Borough, because £3.5 million in 2003 this was still quite a lot of money for a player.
It's not inconsequential money, that
no, was
it?
No, it was an alright sort of fee, was that. But Middlesbrough, no. Doesn't particularly work out for him there. Barely scores for him.
2 years there, was it? Or thereabouts.
Yeah, kind of a season and a half. Only 4 goals, one of which was against Leeds.
Of course it was.
He rounds in our relegation season. He rounds Paul Robinson, gets taken down and then steps up and scores the penalty.
Where were we then at this time? We were knackered.
Absolutely fucked. Is where we were.
I mean, so this was when he did sign. He was essentially the replacement for Mark Viduka, who went the other way, wasn't he? Which, Mark Viduka, he used to get a stick at Leeds, weirdly, but one of the best players I think I've ever seen at Elm Road.
His touch and finishing, just unbelievable.
Yeah, just supreme footballing intelligence, great finisher. I really liked Mark Viduka. I think he was one of my favourites of that Champions League side. But obviously, the wheels had started to come off. We were knackered. And we had to get people off the wage bill. But obviously we were locked in at that time to all sorts of ridiculous punishing deals, whereby even if we sold players for cash money, we made a loss on them and had to pay a difference to a company we'd borrowed money from.
Yeah, we were basically negative equity on loads of stuff, weren't we?
So exactly.
There was no way out of it.
Like negative equity on your house, but we had to sell the house.
Yeah, so we've already sold by this point. I mean, loads had left before, obviously, with Ferdinand Woodgate, etc. But by this point, Smith and Robinson have just left. Viduka's on his way to Middlesbrough. We're still trying to get rid of Hart, Matteo, McPhail, Mills, Milner, Barmby. Bridges is out of contract. Batty's retired. But the whole squad is completely gutted. This is the season when Blackwell gave the line about it's just me and Gary Kelly at training. We would have probably tried to get rid of Gary Kelly at this point as well, I imagine, because he was also on a big Premier League contract.
But it feels like we took a load of Ferraris and nice sports cars into the garage and we just came out with like some really shit bangers.
But don't worry, coming in, he was our fifth signing. That's exciting, isn't it?
All following on from
Julian Joachim, Paul Butler, Clark Carlisle and Danny Pugh.
Yeah, so you can see how we'd, with all due respect to those players, how we'd traded down. I mean, like Julian Joachim had a profile in the game, but at this point his career was on the wane.
Yeah, and Danny Pugh was a promising youngster from Man United.
Mm. He was all right for a bit, wasn't he, Pugh?
He scored quite a lot of goals at the start of that season.
And then I'm quite fascinated by that season, that first season after relegation in the Championship, because I mean it was the first season I started going to Elland Road properly, which was glamorous, but also just the sheer turnover of players. Like we sign across the season like 20 plus players, easy to say, and let go like the same amount, and often there's the same players in both lists, and like we were signing players on 1 month contracts at the start of that season. It just seems insane, and it seems like I'm not sure how we didn't get relegated again, basically.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to give Blackwell too much credit.
Cause hold the line, caller.
Because I kind of think he was, generally speaking, quite a knobhead, and most reports of players would confirm that. But yeah, to keep us up that season, probably pretty good.
Yes. So we signed him on the 23rd of June 2004. Free transfer that saw Viduka go the other way. And he was talked up. I mean, obviously they do talk up players when they arrive, but he was talked up as a former England international, wasn't he?
He wasn't not talked up as a former international. He said the club official statement says he made his England debut against Holland and is still looking to add to his international cap.
Wow.
So there's hope there. So they do. He was kind of our biggest signing.
Yeah.
Of that summer.
Which is troubling.
In a lot of ways.
That's no offence to him, you know.
Because I remember it seeming... I remember it seeming sort of exciting because he's still in his mid-20s here. We're not signing... Other players we signed in that summer, as you talk about the month-to-month contracts, it was people like Hignett and Guppy and like Brian Dean came in for the full season. But, you know, we were signing quite a lot of people at the end of their career.
Danny Cadamartri was around that time, wasn't he?
Went to my school. He did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's almost interesting parallels with the whole Victor Broken Toys idea here, isn't there?
We had no option but to take Broken Toys at this point.
Broken
though.
Toys is what we got. But I think it took a lot of getting your head around and getting used to it this time that we were trading these players who'd had us in the Champions League 2 or 3 years previous to suddenly being thrown into the Championship and having to get Championship level players. How did it go for him, Michael?
I mean, you say that this was your first year at Elland Road. What do you remember signing him and thinking that seems all right? I definitely thought it seemed like an all right signing at the time.
I remember at my school there was definitely talk of like, oh, Michael Ricketts is going to be the guy. Probably because he had played for England and people had heard of him. And it was like, well, you know, Smithy played for England, he's gone, but we've got this other England international and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't go well. So the start of that season, I was looking back over it and essentially we got Joachim and we got Dean and we got Ricketts. None of the strikers scored. It was 7 games in before a striker scored a goal. It was Danny Pugh was contributing quite a few. But Julian Joachim manages to score in the 7th game. And Blackwell, this is again from the official site, I think he's trying to be
nice,
supportive of Ricketts later on. But he says, Michael's a frustrating player and I haven't got Michael Ricketts because Leeds had loads of money to spend. Michael's here because of deals that were done.
That's not the hard sell, is it?
But there's no doubt about it. The kid has something and we have to be patient. Fans and management alike.
So this was very much a, look, we desperately need Viduka off the books. If you take this guy, we'll take Viduka.
Yeah, the official statement said the two weren't linked, but yeah, right. there was a feeling that maybe they were. And he also says, yeah, Ricketts, he's not alone in needing his first goal. Joachim and Dean, they've all come close as well, so without success. So it's not all on him. And he was kind of talking him up, saying, there's definitely something there if we can access it, but we didn't.
He just never kicked off for him, did he? I mean, imagine look at the number of strikers that we had across the course of that season. It was just like trying to chuck everything at the wall and seeing if any of it stuck, because we had Ricketts himself, David Healy, Joachim, Marlon King, Rob Hulse, Brian Dean, Cadamartri, Ian Moore, and the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, he did score in that season.
He did.
In the League Cup against Swindon. I was trying to find some commentary of that to put a clip in, but the only version I could find doesn't have any commentary, so it's just a very empty Elland Road, sort of half cheering a Michael Ricketts goal. I mean, it's an all right goal. But yeah, I think the fact we start quite quickly trying to replace him shows the way it was going for him, because Brian Dean was signed very much to be the understudy to Michael Ricketts. and soon enough finds himself in the team ahead of him. And then at the same point, November, we're getting David Healy in. And then across the season as well, like Nathan Blake arrives on loan, gets injured, but he was obviously ahead of him. And then it's Rob Hulse comes in and gets ahead of him. And it's there was a desperate need to replace him.
I was going to say, I was kind of too young to sort of appreciate style of play and the intricacies of football and things like that. But I remember there being a definite difference when Healy, for instance, came in and just scored some goals. And I was there for Rob Hulse's debut when he scored two fantastic goals against, was it Reading?
Yeah.
And it was like, bloody hell. That's like what strikers are meant to do. I've not really seen that yet.
Yeah, and so Hulse coming in meant that Ricketts went out, so he goes out on loan to Stoke for the rest of that season.
It was a long, slow exit, wasn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't do well. but then he ends up back at Leeds for the season after, gets another few games, gets another goal.
Yes.
Come on, another goal against Oldham in the League Cup game, I'm sure you remember well.
Oh, yeah.
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 But then by September, he's out of the door to Cardiff. And then he does honestly does all right at Cardiff, gets 5 in 17. Then he's back at Leeds, but then out again to Burnley. And that's kind of the end.
That's it for him.
That's the beginning of the end.
Started well for him though at Burnley. Got 2 in his first 3.
He did. That is true. But yeah, that's kind of the start of his exit from Leeds.
Yeah. And I mean, we're coming to this trying to be fair to him and look at his past career and look at the comments that people have made about him. And that brings me to Brian Dean, because when people leave like this and they don't work out, people sort of caricature footballers. You know, like Thomas Brolin was painted in much the same way as being a fat waster. And that's what Michael Ricketts ended up getting tarred with, that particular brush, didn't he? But there were people at Wembley singing after Brolin, why is Brolin on the bench? Because people wanted to see him in the side and see what he could do. And Wilkinson never found a way to properly accommodate him, did he? And maybe shouldn't have signed him in the first place. He admitted the only time he got that wrong. But with Ricketts, it's also coming out of the dressing room as well that he's maybe not in the greatest shape, because Brian Dean had something to say about that on it was on BBC Radio Tease, wasn't it, their Borough podcast?
Yeah, this is from a later, obviously like a long time after his playing career's finished, but he was he was essentially being told at pre-season that he was behind Michael Ricketts, and then he said, from my point of view, I thought, well, I've still got my professional pride here. I can accept he's brought him in as his main striker, but I'm not going to sit here behind someone if they're not going to step up. My job was to push, and he's basically just saying that Ricketts had a weight problem, and when it came to pre-season, he wasn't fit. I mean, Ricketts, I found some stuff from Michael Ricketts saying that he'd only ever managed like one full pre-season after the year at Bolton, because he was always injured, which was a problem for him. He did constantly carry injuries, but then it's a tough balance because every ex-pro has got who hasn't been successful or has not managed to maintain any kind of peak always has a thing about, oh, I've got injuries and then X, Y, and Z happened to me and it wasn't really my fault, but he could have been injured and not fat.
I think it's telling coming from Dean as well, because he always strikes me as a very nice guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would necessarily throw someone under the bus like he kind of has done.
Well, yeah, because he says, Dean, he's a very nice man, is Brian Dean. But he says, I just thought I can't accept being second in line behind Michael. I'm not talking about ability or anything. I'm talking about an attitude in training and the rest of it. I thought I have to do what I do to stay in the team. So Michael actually inspired me to push a little bit more. But yeah, Brian Dean, 37 at this point.
Yeah.
And in far, far better shape than the lad in his mid-20s we brought in who played for England a couple of years ago.
It's amazing, isn't it, how footballers, even when they're basically on a huge downslope like this, and it's quite evident from the stuff that's been said there in retrospect and what you could see at the time with your own eyes, wasn't going to work out. He left the club in the summer of 2006 and ends up at Southend, isn't it?
Yeah, they were in the Championship, in fairness, at the time, but it's described as, we agreed a transfer package. He had a year left on his deal, so presumably that
we'll pick up his wages.
That meant a payoff for him, because he'll have still been on decent money from his Borough days. And this is where the trend kind of kicks in with him, because if you look down his Wikipedia, pretty much every entry after Leeds says his contract was terminated by mutual consent. He left the club after his contract expired, terminated by mutual consent, and that is essentially
the story of it
the
from
there. So he joins the South End, and then by the October, they've got rid of him as well.
It's unfortunate. So do we still have to pay his wages if we've agreed? But we're paying them money to not have him? I don't know.
Probably, yeah. So he goes on dotting around different clubs. So he's has spells at Preston, Oldham, Walsall and Tranmere after that. And he does play against us a couple of times. I looked into this and he was giving it the big one, talking about us when he was playing for Walsall, saying, it's always nice to go back and I'm sure I'll take the sting away from the rest of the players, because there'll be 25,000 people baying for my blood. I never got on with certain people at the club who are at Sheffield United now. Just say Kevin Blackwell, mate. Unless he was media, I don't know. Has Hulse gone there or something by that point? I think he probably means
Matt Kilgallen.
I'm sure he means Blackwell. But he does say there's some great people there and a terrific club. But I'm not playing for them anymore, so I have no allegiances. Anyway, we won 3-0.
You did a match report around that time as well, didn't you?
That was when he ends up leaving there and ends up at John Barnes's Tranmere. He had a very brief stint in charge there. And that was his debut for Tranmere. Another 3-0 win for Leeds at Elland Road. But yeah, sensing the crowd were in good humour, he then introduced ex-Leeds and ex-England, yes, England, old boy Michael Ricketts. Normally I'd be cautious of our old players coming back to haunt us, but not him, not today. Ricketts for England rang around the cop as he once again proved that his form of 2002 was nothing short of miraculous.
That was your match report in the Square Ball.
I dug it out, yeah. Second ever issue we were in charge of, that one.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Don't remember it at all.
Final game, professional game anyway, was an FA Cup final defeat. Final?
FA Cup final. FA Cup third round, that says, yeah. It an FA Cup defeat. Sorry, right. That should just read to Wolves. And that was it.
January 2010, contract cancelled by mutual consent. So from the course of his England debut in 2004 to his final appearance in 2010, 42 goals for 9 clubs. And that is that.
Didn't end well. He got 40 bookings and 3 red cards. I totted him up as well. So he ended up more cards than goals.
Oh, wow.
After in England. I mean, part of the reason his second spell at Walsall, he was actually doing all right there, but he kept getting sent off. Got 3 red cards in that season.
They say 3 red cards is a lot.
Yeah, he did well. That was all. They were all in one season as well. So
proper barraded it.
Mm.
There you go. That is a TSB guide to Michael Ricketts.
Quiz to finish.
Oh, go on.
There might be more. But, you know, I thought of two other Leeds players with a single England cap.
Patrick Bamford.
He's one. The other one wasn't. He wasn't a cap one whilst at Leeds. The other one. Another massive success. We'll probably do an episode about him at some point. Seth Johnson.
Of course.
Seth Johnson, there you go.
There are probably others, but, you know.
They are episodes in themselves. That wraps it up. That's the TSB guide to Michael Ricketts.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.